This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Susan. As you came in this evening, you have been given a strip of cloth, at least I hope you have. If you haven't, I've got more. And it's a symbolic thing. We're going to use them in our prayers later. But I want to think this evening about the layers of Christmas. Christmas is full of layers, perhaps a bit like Pass the Parcel. And at first glance in our society, the most obvious layer is that sparkly, shiny, covered in Rudolph and Father Christmas and bells and snowflakes kind of layer. It's a great excuse for a party, for time off, and for reconnecting with family and friends that we're usually too busy to see. We make time, don't we, at Christmas? And it gives us a reason to express our love for people by giving and receiving presents, cementing relationships in tangible ways. And the sparkle and the glitter connects us at some level with a sense of joy and wonder. For me, it echoes my childhood memories. Metallic coloured baubles always make me smile whenever I see them. I think we must have had particularly shiny ones on our first Christmas tree. I remember it was before I was five in the first house we lived in. And I wonder if, like me, you've noticed there are more twinkly lights this year than I think I've ever seen before. And then there are the opportunities, another level, another layer, to come and worship together, to remember and celebrate all that God has done for us and offers us in Jesus. And the invitation, every year we offer this invitation to embrace the kingdom of God that has come near, that invites us to come in. These are all good things. People, presents, parties, sparkle, glitter, worship. However deep or shallow our Christmas experience is, we can notice and rejoice in the good things around us. But this evening, we have a chance just to pause for a little bit to acknowledge a few more of those layers that maybe sit in the shadows, that remain out of public view. For some of us need to admit that for ourselves or for those around us, some of the things we associate with Christmas aren't necessarily full of light and joy. For some people, memories come with a sense of loss or pain. And the light and sparkle can just lead to highlight the parts in our lives that feel dark and abandoned. The expectations that we've put upon ourselves and that we try to live up to may actually lead us to more stress than peace. Or we might just feel that we need a moment to sit down and be quiet, so that we can then put all our energy into loving, serving, and celebrating. When Joseph heard that Mary was pregnant, his first reaction was far from joy. I think he'd probably been looking forward to that day coming soon when he'd be taking his virgin bride home for the first time, to planning their life together in Nazareth, close to friends and family, who'd be there to love and support them through those early days. I wonder what his expectations were. I wonder whether he was hoping for a son who would take over the family business, who'd provide for him in his old age, who'd go and worship with him every day, to mould and train, a chip off the old block, to teach and encourage, to be proud of in the town as he grew up. I wonder if he and Mary had thought about names for their children, if they had some, and how many they'd be blessed with. The opportunity to start a life together where they'd make the decisions about how to run their own household, perhaps for the first time. Everyone knew that they were betrothed, and maybe the date was already set for the public celebration of their marriage. So can you imagine how Joseph must have felt when she told him one day that she was already pregnant? All his expectations were dashed in a moment. His hopes and plans for the future with his bride-to-be must have vanished in a puff of smoke. And Joseph was a man who was faithful to the law. He was unable to contemplate living with a woman who'd apparently behaved in an immoral, disrespectful way. Whatever she says about her innocence, and however much he wants to believe her, he knows that according to the law, he must divorce her. And yet, even in his disappointment and anger, he's mindful of Mary's well-being and reputation. And we hear that he decides to do this as quietly as possible, to protect her from humiliation and the public disgrace that was inevitable. So I think that Joseph proves himself, even in this early part of the story, to be a good man. And then his perspective is changed. Layers of truth are revealed to him by the angel, and he understands that there's more to this than meets the eye. The angel tells him that Mary has been visited by the Holy Spirit, that her son is to be the long-awaited saviour, and that Joseph is a part of the story too. He's to take her home as his wife, to become the earthly father that Jesus will need as he grows up. But the angel's message is not, hey, don't worry, Joseph, everything's going to be wonderful, sparkly, and perfect. The reality is going to be tough and challenging. But he's called into it as a willing participant in order that God's bigger plan can be fulfilled. We hear a lot about Mary's humility and obedience. But for Joseph, there's an equal challenge. A challenge, I suspect, to his masculinity and his self-image. He's called to trust Mary and honour God. As he raises this child who'll be born not of his will and choice or actions, but God's. God's message to us at Christmas is not, hey, don't worry, everything's going to be wonderful and bright and sparkly and perfect, let's have a party. We'd love that to be the case, but so often in our real experience, that's not true. And there's a danger that we feel like God has let us down when we start to struggle with things. But he never actually promised that we would be immune from the experiences everyone faces in this life, whether that's illness, loss, or anxiety. God hasn't let us down, because what he promised was so much greater than a quick fix. He promised that he would always be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. The passage that Hannah read was the one that Jesus quoted when he stood in the synagogue for the first time in Nazareth after his baptism, at the beginning of his ministry. And he read the passage from Isaiah. And he wasn't claiming then that he would wave a magic wand and make everything better for everyone. Even though we do sometimes see glimpses of his kingdom breaking through as we pray for healing and wholeness, and that is a good thing to do. As we've travelled through Advent, we've been reminded again and again that we do have faith and a certain hope that one day Jesus will return and all sorrow and sighing and sin and pain will be gone for good. And we eagerly wait for that to come. But in the meantime, Jesus quotes the prophet's words. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve. Proclamation is to announce officially or publicly, to point out something that's true, but generally speaking about something before it becomes widely known. Jesus proclaims good news to the poor, freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God. And some of that we see coming already as the kingdom is spread. But he also points to what it will be like when it comes in all its glory. But as well as proclaiming, he says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve. Christmas is full of good news. It points us to the good news of salvation. It demonstrates in the most tangible of ways that God is indeed with us in the mess of life. Born as a helpless baby in the lowest place on earth, it begins the story of Jesus' life amongst us and foreshadows his death and resurrection. So it's full of good news, but it doesn't promise us freedom in this life from poverty, pain, or sorrow. Mary and Joseph experienced all those things in their own journeys of faith. And they weren't chosen to participate because of their superior intellect, their earning potential, their attractiveness, or ability to cook the perfect lunch, wrap the perfect present, or host the perfect party. I don't think the television schedules would have made very much of that, would they? We've seen all of those things just in the last week. Earning potential. There's plenty of stuff about attractiveness, isn't there, on the box. I was watching this morning the end of Professional Master Chef, Cooking the Perfect Lunch. There's been How to Wrap the Perfect Present almost endlessly at 5 o'clock on Channel 4. And Hosting the Perfect Party. Well, Nigella and Mary have a few things to tell us about that. But we're not invited to demonstrate our worth to God today through any of those things. Even if the world around us says that we must conform to those expectations to be okay. And how tempting it is to want to fit in. How strong the messages are for us that if we don't perform, if we can't wrap the perfect present, if we can't cook the perfect meal, if we're not the greatest party goers, if we're not constantly smiling and happy and cheerful and doing well, then we get the impression there's something substandard about us. That we must hide the darker layers and manage those ourselves rather than spoil the fun for everyone else. Jesus never invites us to perform. He invites us to come as we are and to be transformed from the inside out. Joseph and Mary became a part of the story because they were willing to offer all that they had and all that they were to the God who loved them and had a purpose and a plan to bring salvation through their obedience and the obedience of the son they'd love and raise as best they could. He saw through all the layers that society would put upon them, and actually he stripped them all away. But they chose to allow him to do that. So I wonder today what it is that God wants to touch in you. What the layers are that perhaps you don't let anyone else see, but that he already knows and sees and accepts and loves. Where do you need his comfort and provision, his healing and his hope? And also, who or where is it that God wants to touch through you? Where he'll bring healing and hope to others through your obedience and offering your life today. We can choose to focus on all those layers that the world loves, to put all our energy into those things. Or we can choose to open ourselves to God and allow him to reach through the layers, to touch our hearts, and in doing so, to transform us and others. Our prayers this evening are going to be a chance to think about for ourselves, or perhaps for those nearest and dearest to us, or maybe even for those further away, a situation, a problem, a challenge, something that's a layer that may be hidden from the world that we would like to offer to Jesus and ask him to touch. So I've given you some strips of cloth. As I say, there are more. If you don't have one, we can make sure you get one. And I'm going to invite you in a little while to write on that cloth something that you would like to bring to God. We're going to listen to a song, we're going to watch a video as we start to think about that. And then I'll tell you what we're going to do after that. I love this song. I've watched it quite a few times. Mary, Did You Know? And this version is by a group called Pentatonix. It's just beautiful. And it's the question of, did Mary really know what she was saying yes to?